Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and distribution systems, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, the many customization options ensure that your space is tailored to your unique needs. Hey, we use them here at Walk and Talk. Say goodbye to chaos and hello to order with Metro Shelving. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency. Food fam, this is the Walk and Talk podcast, your favorite food podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the show. We're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. First things first, last week we cooked up some traditional dishes and put an elevated chef Jeffersonian spin on them. Then we got to thinking about like happy childhood meal memories. Steakums. Yeah, you heard that correctly. Steakums. More like steak. My goodness. Yeah. Somehow that Sammy disappeared. Okay. We had a friend of ours, a good friend, Lisa Leventhal. She's the owner of Curveball Whiskey Company. She sent us a beautiful promotional gift box with some really cool swag. And of course, there was a bottle of their original barbecue whiskey. And yeah, I did say barbecue whiskey. Yeah, she supplied this delicious drink while we were at the World Food Championship. And I just wanted to give a, thank you to Lisa. Check out her Instagram or IG at Curveball with a K, Curveball Whiskey. On the menu today, we've got pecan smoked ribeye, four different dishes worth of that deliciousness. Yeah, pecan smoked ribeye. Oh my goodness. And speaking of ribeye, thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's production. Our guest this week is Alex Waddle from Flossie's Foods. And you're going to know the brand. It's cotton candy and a bunch of other cool stuff. It's family-owned. It's a family-owned and operated company, about 40 years worth of existence. You've seen the label. I'm sure of it. Basically, they've had customers that have included Sam's Club, Cracker Barrel, Bass Pro Shops. We're going to get into the dynamics of a father-daughter duo operation. Stay tuned. Alex is on deck. Jeff, man, today was amazing.
That last dish was my best, my favorite.
I mean, it's beautiful. Like the photography on that is it's ridiculous. Why don't you let me get off? Let me get off here, and why don't you pop the clutch and get into pre-shift?
Yeah, man. Yeah, John's looking at me like, "What? Why would he think that's the best?" Because I didn't have to cook it. It's literally just put everything in an order and then pour the soup.
Lazy.
You know what? How to finish out? You finish strong, bud. So yeah, we did a 1 pound ribeye to start with, and we did it with like potato planks, and then we did Brussels sprouts, and then did the basting with some butter, rosemary, thyme. Got some great video of that too. And then we did that plate up really nice. That came out phenomenal. And then we went into the steakums, quote unquote steakums. You know, when I was a kid, I remember even, you know, today there's like Philly cheese. There's different brands out there that we call them pucks, and they're frozen. And they come in between 4 to 8 ounces, and then you just throw them in from frozen. You throw it right into the pan, and you start breaking them down and whatever you're going to do with the sandwich. This one was actually, the ribeye was smoked, and then we shaved those down. We put, the first one was Philly cheese, but I can't do it, you know, just onions and mushrooms and cheese. I did caramelized onion jam with balsamic, some honey, some thyme in it too as well. And then I had to use maitakes, oyster mushrooms, and then did that layer of meat on top. And then I did a cheese, a fontina, and white cheddar, and a beautiful baguette, little hoagie one. And then the next one was the fat ass. And that,
what?
Yeah, you heard me, the fat ass. That sandwich, did you try it?
Not yet. Yeah, okay, look. Listen.
I know you've had a lot. You get the meat sweats. I can tell.
Yes, I'm going through that phase right as we're on air here doing this. I can see it. It's in my line of sight.
Yeah,
I can see it. I don't know if it's going to make it home, but right now I had to take a
break.
Breaks. Yeah,
a little siesta.
Yeah, a little bit.
So that one is ouzo marmalade, charred tomatoes, charred onions, black garlic aioli, arugula. And then it has the sliced prime rib or the steak, I'm quote unquote, which is not. And then did a little cheese blend of that one. It's got Fontina, white cheddar, and Gruyere. So it gave it a little more flavor, a little more depth. The ouzo really comes out, takes that fat away. When you taste it, you'll see it's really just delicious. And then lastly, we did a rendition of what's called, most people call it pho, but it's pha. The Vietnamese dish that is just packed full of flavor.
Wait. You're telling me the pho, it's actually P-H-O. Pronounced
pho. Yeah. I worked with a woman. Her name was Cook. And Cook used to tell me, chef, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's pho. And it was that induction of, like, if you know about Far East language, it's the enunciation of the words. So one word, if you announce it three different ways, can be three different with sayings to it or meanings. So it's the way you say it. So it's pho. That dish, even though it was easy, it's so complex because of the broth that's in there. And it's so layered with different flavors. You know, it takes, I was telling John, this thing, if I were to make this from scratch, from scratch, it's beef bones, pork bones, brisket, and you throw everything together, you char ginger, char onions, and you develop these layers, and then all of a sudden you get all these cloves and cinnamon, and you just, it builds so much layer. That's what I love about certain like ethnic foods, because you can feel the love as they make their dish. You can feel just the, like you were talking about, the history of how pho came about. That's just, and the influence of French cuisine with Vietnamese cuisine is just amazing for me.
Well, I mean, John's that imagery of that dish is stunning. I can't wait for that to take it out.
But John's going to have that for dinner tonight.
I'm going to say pho, get about it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
See, you know, it's funny. We talked about that before. John says, you know, he spoke. He says, you know, what would be really great is if we, you know, did some kind of fusion of Italian and the, you know, Vietnamese, and, you know, forget about it, would be the dish. And I think we should do it. Figure it out.
Yeah, we could probably do. Listen, I had a buddy of mine that did a pad thai carbonara.
Okay.
So he used, instead of using egg, he used uni. Hmm. So instead of using regular linguine or fettuccine, he used the pad thai noodle. And he actually was a chef. He's down in Miami, South Beach. Right across the way from the Lowell's Hotel. And he was from Colombia or Venezuela and trained in Italy and then moved to Miami. So he's got Latin fusion with Italian, and then he brought that together, and it just worked out so well.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I think we can. Can we put a dish together or what?
What do you want to do next week? You want the Monte Cristo, or do you want?
Oh no, we gotta go Monte Cristo, man. I mean, I'm kind of in this nostalgia. So picture this, right? 1985. I pull out a food tray. You know, I sit on the couch. I put it down. I sit on the couch. Out of the microwave comes
Hungry Man, Swanson's Hungry Man,
or whatever, or Steak'em, or whatever. Brought me straight back to when we had the remote control clicker thing was like connected with the wire to the TV.
Yeah. Somebody just posted that on Facebook where it had the switch box and it was like the wood grain and it had the little bump, bump, bump.
Yeah.
Someone literally just posted that yesterday.
No kidding. Yeah. See, John's shaking his head, but like people, this is, you know, a lot of people who listen to in the audience are actually in our bracket. Got a lot of youngins too, which is great. But truth is, I missed that little clicker. That was a good time.
Now it was my daughter until she got to a certain age.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, that was me. I mean, you too.
Probably. Well, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Change the channel.
Right. Okay. without further ado, we have a guest on hold. I kind of did the intro already on that. And I kind of want to jump into it because, so I have a daughter, right? And I can see myself, you know, and that's kind of what this is. I want to be able to like bring them into some sort of business, as you know, I'm getting older. They're very little, but so the situation here with Flossie's is, you know, it's a father-daughter duo, So I thought that was really cool, and it kind of hit a chord with me. So let's welcome Alex Waddle on the show. Alex, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Excellent. So, you know, it's funny because when I was talking with, and by the way, Pooch, Sean Pooch Rivera, our boy, he kind of did the connect on this, on today's for the guest. And when he was giving me the whole description, I was like, wow, man, Flossies, it sounds familiar. As soon as he started, you know, as soon as I saw the bag, I was like, oh my God, I know exactly what this is. So it started back in 78, right, Alex?
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
So introduce yourself, kind of give like the 30,000 foot view of who you are and who the company is.
Okay. I'm Alex Waddle. We are Flossies. We've been around for many, many years. Like you said, 78. I was not alive then. My parents just kind of fell into it with family friends. And I've just kind of been taking it over from my dad. My dad still comes here every day. He's not here right now, but we just kind of run it together. We're kind of a dream team.
But it started with what? Funnel cakes, right?
Yes. So everybody knows us as a concession business. You know, I kind of call myself like a high class cardi is kind of the lingo I use. Because we have a concession tray. So that's how I grew up. I grew up, you know, slinging cakes is how I call it. Funnel cakes, corn dogs, lemonade, cotton candy. That's how I grew up. I literally grew up as a carny. Concessions, fairs, events, craft fairs, my entire life. I still do it to this day. And now I'm just running a little, you know, life-size Willy Wonka factory in the back.
I love that. And, you know, another fond memory is going to all the fairs, right? You know, we're from South Florida, so like, you know, Broward County Fair, Dade County Fair.
Youth Fair
and all that. And, you know, all of that food, it, you know, you take a bite or you smell it, you walk by, whatever, and it brings you straight back to your first time. Like literally the first time and, you know, the water pistol with the balloon and, you know, whatever. And if you're lucky enough to, get a prize and walk out with it, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, whatever. Pretty cool. Fun fact, you sent me that. Say again.
It's very nostalgic. Like I remember packaging from, you know, when I was 3, 4, I remember, you know, the flavors from when I was 3, 4. I've seen this industry from the time I was a child to now. It's just, everybody has their industry and I just know how it's changed over, you know, 35 years. It's just wild how it's different.
Well, one way it changed, I'm looking at some information here. In 1982, a funnel cake was $1.25 and lemonade was $1.
Yes. I'm making change with quarters and I can't imagine doing that now.
Can you imagine having change now? I can't stand it. My children love it. They're collecting a, you know, pocket full of change. So when you were 78, you weren't born. So somewhere in the 90s, you were kind of coming of age, right, into this?
Experience the perfect blend of culinary delights, entertainment, and education on the number one food podcast in the country, Walk and Talk Podcast. Join host Carl Fiadini and the amazing chef Jeffrey Schlissel. Feed your appetite. Find this podcast on Apple and Spotify.
Yes. Yes, I was about 4 when I started slinging cakes in a funnel cake trailer, standing on a big 50-pound powdered sugar bucket.
Powdered sugar bucket.
Yeah.
50 pounds. Wow.
Well, so, she was living the dream.
Yes, and what's wild is my parents designed the trailers in, when did we have our first trailer? 82-ish? My parents designed the first funnel cake trailer then. My mom designed it. The artwork is my mom's. design. The trailers to this day look the exact same. They're laid out the same. The artwork's the same. Everything's the same.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Once you see the logo, it hits you, you know, fairly quickly. But now you're in like a state of the art facility. It's pretty, you know, you're a fairly good size operation now, right?
Well, she also has the Oompa Loompas too.
That's what I call them. As soon as you pull up in our drive in our parking lot, everyone gets out of their car and like, oh my God, it smells like candy out here. It smells like sugar. I'm like, well, we're spinning cotton candy. The whole street smells like sugar.
That's the last place that I have to be is inside your building because you wouldn't be able to stop me. You would need like the whole police department for the area to get me from not jumping into the canal of candy, you know, jump right in.
Yeah, it's really like Oompa Loompa. They'd have to come get you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, he would be like, I want more.
I want more.
I want it now, Daddy. Yeah.
Yes, that one.
Give me more, Daddy. Give it more.
Veruca Salt.
Yeah, Veruca Salt.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yes.
You made a comment in about 35 years, how things have changed. Like, what flavors have morphed that are popular now that, I mean, the other flavors that might have like gone away that you guys don't do anymore?
I think everybody thinks of cotton candy pink. Pink vanilla is the main thing. When you go to a carnival or you go to a fair, you're going to have pink. They don't say what the flavor is, but normally it's just a pink vanilla or a blue, and it's usually a blue raspberry or blueberry. Our cotton candy is strawberry. Our pink is strawberry. Our blue is blue raspberry. So we take the extra mile to make it actually be a flavor. Most people are just generic and, you know, don't really focus on the flavor profile, as we want it to taste good. We want it to feel good. We want it to be good quality products. That's what we focus on. We want you to buy it again. We don't want you to be like, oh, it's cotton candy. Get it. We want you to come back and buy it again.
Well, for 40 years, it's been working.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah. And that's something I think we're proud of. We always want you to come back. There's a reason that people come back for, oh, we got to get a Flossy funnel cake. There might be 5 food trucks selling funnel cakes, but I have customers that are like, we got to get a Flossy's funnel cake. We got to buy the Flossy's cotton candy, because people know our reputation. And that's something that I'm very, very proud of. And it's something I stress to my dad. People love the family dynamic of us. They love our story. It makes us relatable. And that's something I really try to project to any customer or anybody that I'm sharing our story with. It just makes you relatable.
And you guys are doing about 14,000 ounces a day.
Yes.
That's a lot of cotton candy. That's spinning a lot of candy.
A lot of cotton candy. And another thing that sets us apart is everything's hand spun, it's hand sealed, it's hand packaged, and it's hand packed. So I have a quality control. You know, it's 3 different times somebody has a quality control. You know, you mentioned machinery. Yeah, I have machinery, but I have quality control with a girl that's doing it, which also sets me apart. You know, there's not a machine that can do it better than what I'm doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the website now, in fact, and I'm just seeing some video, and you know, it's a beautiful marriage of you know, handwork and equipment. I mean, it's really beautiful. How big is the facility?
We're about 20,000 square feet.
Yeah, that's for cotton candy. I mean, that's
and funnel cake.
And funnel cake. Forward. And if there's other things too.
Yeah, that's a dad question. We might be a little bit.
Yeah, copy that. So, I've seen it in Bass Pro. That's where I can tag it. But I also know that you've been in some other big retailers, and that's amazing. So the whole dynamic with family. So everybody at the table here has worked for family owned operations. You know, who's here in this on this podcast, and it's the experiences are pretty amazing, because you get these companies that they're real small, they start tiny, and then you know you're blessed enough to get into this you know, into the large, you know, retailers and outlets and whatnot, that family setting, that dynamic goes with you. Unless you fire your entire family and hire, you know, quote unquote professionals, corporate professionals, it's like you're growing, but it's still family, and you still have the, you know, the, I don't want to say the, you know, the arguments and all the different family personalities that are there. And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, I think we've been really fortunate to keep it. We're still very, very small. I mean, in the office, it's me, my dad, and my mom. And I think our biggest struggle is the generation aspect of it. But
in what way?
Me and my dad are 35 years in age difference. So talking to him on how my generation wants to buy things and how his generation wants to buy and sell things, it's just to try to find that happy medium. He doesn't understand how the market works now. And it's just trying to, you know, guide him in that now. So
welcome to adulthood.
My dad does. Computer at his desk. He still likes to write all checks by hand, but I love that about him. I mean, there's so many things that we still do here that is so makes us who we are. It's just some things we still do from 19, you know, a lot of this office still looks the same as it did when I was 5 years old. It's just comfortable and, you know, homey.
Yeah. And I think I feel like we shouldn't try to lose that in general, in society at large. You know, like we need to have some tie in to our history, whether it's, you know, family history or, you know, history in general. We need to stay tied into it because it's familiar. And if you lose that familiarity, I don't know what happens to us, but I'm looking at this, I'm watching this video of, you know, the cotton candy is getting spun and it's on the conveyor belt. And then it's like spinning the bags. They're in bags and they're spinning on this disc. And I feel like I feel like I can have a cocktail.
You want there?
I want to be there. I feel like I can sit here and watch this for the next like 35 minutes and just, you know, and dig myself. And I don't know. Don't mind me. Okay.
And you don't have anything to dilute the product down. That's another thing about being a family run company is that you're not diluting it. You're keeping to the brand and getting the best possible ingredients. Like you said, that what differentiates you from other manufacturers besides hand packing is that you use quality ingredients, correct?
100%. We don't take any shortcuts, nothing. And that's something that I also make sure happens. Like I said before, I don't want you to buy my product one time and be like, okay, you got that cotton candy. There's a reason people go and buy a Hershey's chocolate bar over and over and over again. It's because it's the best. I want you to go buy Flossie's cotton candy over and over and over again because it's the best.
Attention chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away and ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com.
Is the cotton candy the best seller out of your portfolio?
I think so because it's one of the ready. It's the only ready to eat item I have. The funnel cake mix is great, but you have to go make it. The corn dog mix is great. It's amazing, but you have to go make it. We also have a moonshine peanut brittle
Wait, time out. Let's talk about that.
It's a great product. It is, you know how peanut brittle is kind of like chewy and gets stuck in your teeth? This one is airy, doesn't get stuck to your teeth. I'm trying to just let you imagine it. It is, anybody that I give a can to, they eat the whole can in one sitting and they're like, bring
wait,
me
there's
more.
A can? I gotta find this.
Yes. I can do it faster. Whatever it is, I can do it quicker. I can eat that faster than anyone. I want the record. I'm just saying.
I will send you some.
Yeah.
All of our products are in those canisters. We just like the nostalgic of it. When did we switch over our packaging? In the 90s, late 80s. So all of our products are in that vintage container besides our cotton candy. So it's a resealable container. And yeah, it's amazing. I would say our peanut brittle and our cotton candy are number one.
You mean you had me at the moonshine peanut brittle? You know, like come
I,
on.
I actually mean, like, look like a meerkat. I literally poked my head up and I was like, "Ooh,
yeah, I want that." I want
now
that.
He's looking at the website. He's searching.
I'm looking.
For
no,
it.
I'm looking at the notes. Listen. So
I know I didn't even put that on there. I'm sorry.
I don't see it. But what's funny? But wait, what's funny is in 1985, right? Because it goes by year. So in 1985, it just says. I'm born.
And you know what I thought was funny is that's when my dad told me the cotton candy was added to the trailer. And I was like, what a coincidence. Like,
oh, no kidding.
I was born and the cotton candy was added to the trailers. Like, meant to be.
Now, do you eat cotton candy yourself? Like, are you just over it? There's no way I'm not going to eat that anymore.
I will tell you, every time I'm at a store, it doesn't matter, gas station, dollar store, Walmart, grocery store, I always search for the cotton candy. I want to know where it's made. I want to know what it tastes like, how much it is, etc. So yes, I always buy cotton candy no matter where I go. I taste it. I look at it. I feel it.
Is it a big field out there, you know, in terms of companies who are producing cotton candy?
Yes and no. I think there's probably about 10 of us. But
domestic, like here in the States, you mean?
Yeah, about 10 of us.
I would imagine that's a lot for cotton candy. But I mean, at the end of the day, every town has a, you know, some sort of a fair, and you know, there's a Cabela's, internet, all that stuff. Is internet sales probably your number one, or is it Bass Pro or one of them?
It's my internet sales are great, but it's my customer base, like my Cabela's,
brick and mortar,
my Bass Pro. It's a lot of my private label customers, but they all find me through my website.
Now, you said private label. I was about to ask that. Now, do they do different flavor profiles, or is it just the strawberry and blue raspberry that you do?
Some of them do. We do private blends for a lot of people if they have. So Wally's is one of my new private label customers. We've been working with them for probably 6 months. Are you guys familiar with Wally's at all?
No, negative.
Okay. They're in like Illinois area right in there. They're similar to Buc-ee's. I know you guys have heard of Buc-ee's.
Of course. Yeah. We have a Buc-ee's down here.
They are taking over like Illinois, that Midwest area. Exact same layout as Buc-ee's. They're going to be probably close to the size of Buc-ee's when they, you know, gain some speed. But they have a drink, an orange cream drink. So we created an orange cream cotton candy for them. Ooh. So they have an orange cream and then a classic cotton candy. So yes, I can create flavors for customers if that's what they want. So that orange cream is only for them.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm already, the wheels are already turning. Wait,
so I know what Jeff and I are staring at each other here as you're talking. So can you do a bourbon?
I was thinking bourbon and bacon.
I know you were.
Yeah.
I was getting there. So can you do a bourbon and bacon cotton candy or no?
Or a bourbon straight?
This is not a joke.
Yeah.
This is not a joke.
She just said that we can literally do anything.
Oh, wow.
I heard that.
What's if there's a flavor profile available, we could literally do anything.
What's the R&D involved for that? How do you
I want to be a part of the tasting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Can you imagine bacon, cotton candy?
I am the social media. I am the customer service. I am everything.
We can appreciate all of what you just said. All right, so I think we should talk about that. Not now, off air. We should have that.
I want to go out and buy a cotton candy machine.
Nah, you don't have to. You know, we.
Yeah.
No.
Can you imagine like having a dessert and have like raining cotton candy on the. Just think about that for a minute.
I don't want to give it away to Wally's. That's all I'm saying.
Nah,
yeah.
Nah.
They can have theirs. Keep your ideas away.
Nah.
Keep your ideas to yourself.
Keep it yourself. I mean, it's all. There's only only a few people can hear this.
Just a smidge.
That's true. You can always edit it out.
Yeah.
No, we don't edit.
We don't. No, that's the thing. We keep the. So the integrity of the program that we do is, unless somebody says something, off color that they accidentally, we don't ever go back.
We don't even do that. Because we've had people kind of boo-boo.
We saved you a few times. You don't know it. But yeah, we've. It's true. Look, John.
Really?
Yeah.
I think y'all should do the forget about it because it's the 25-year anniversary of The Sopranos. So that's what y'all
should
go
with. Yeah, that's true. Ironically enough, I was just watching a rerun of Zoli and Isles, and the woman who plays one of the characters' mothers was the psychiatrist. And this was just yesterday. What was The Sopranos psychiatrist for Tony?
No kidding. What is it called? Disney Springs. I took a ride with John. I don't know, a month ago. We went to Disney Springs, and the son was there. What's his name?
Michael.
No. Oh my god! I forgot his name. Anyway, he was there. I saw him, and I'll remember in a second. But I saw him, and I go, I think that was the kid from The Sopranos. He goes, No, it wasn't. I saw him again. It was definitely him. 100%. Like, it was clear as day. I just can't remember his name. It was Meadow and whatever. Anyway.
He can't Google it because he's got the phone. John is usually the Google guy.
Yeah, the Google.
The expert in Google. Yeah. He's a Googler.
Anyhow. Yeah, that's a good idea. 25th anniversary, Alex. I think that I think you're on to something.
How about a pizza cotton candy for that, huh? Little, no? Nah. Forget about it.
The savory ones, and they like freak me out. So I don't know.
So what do you mean? Why?
I don't know. I just it's like my brain and my taste buds like miscommunicate. It doesn't make sense to me.
AJ.
Like I think I don't. Oh, okay, it's like
Anthony John Soprano. Yeah. That's what his name AJ. Was.
Right.
I feel like it's Tony, but what I don't remember them calling him Tony. So yeah
it was
sense.
Anthony, Tony, AJ, right? All right, I can sleep tonight. I'll be able to go to. Anyway, so back to the savory. So what? That's not you're afraid of it.
I'm not afraid of it, but I've played with like a pickle cotton candy before, and it was just like I was like I can't sell this. Like I don't love it.
I'm thinking about that. I mean,
here's the thing that the median, like potato chips is a great neutral median because you can put all those different flavors as we saw, like, chicken and waffles and sriracha and all that stuff. Sugar's a different component. Plus when you're spinning sugar, you have to reach a certain temperature, but then when you add certain things to it, it won't inhibit the flavor too. So there's a lot of, when you're spinning sugar, especially, there's a lot of science behind it.
Walk and Talk Podcast, now sweetened by Noble Citrus. Bite into a juicy crunch tangerine, 40 years perfected, seedless and oh so tasty. Or savor a starburst pomelo, the giant citrus with a unique zing. Don't miss autumn honey tangerines, big and easy to peel. Noble, generations of citrus expertise, delivering exceptional flavor year round. Taste the difference with Noble Citrus. That's true, yeah. Alex. I guess so, right?
She knows better than I do.
Yeah, it gets about 350 degrees. I just don't like garlic flavored sugar. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah, there's certain ones I wouldn't do.
Yeah, no, that would be good. But I think bacon would work.
Bacon, lemon, any citrus would work probably because you have the orange cream right there, so that works.
Well, I'm looking at it like this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She had a lemonade.
Yeah, we have a lemonade.
Ooh, take that strawberry cotton candy with the lemonade and put that on top of a drink like a mojito.
Oh, yeah.
We have a strawberry lemonade.
Strawberry
lemonade.
All right. Yeah. I mean, so obviously we're all about the food and the culinary and, you know, cocktails and, you know, how it's all built. You know, so when we have these sort of conversations, what ends up happening, you know, Jeff, his gears
just start grinding,
just start getting, you know, getting out there. But, you know, the whole thing with bacon. Let me tell you what. Go ahead.
The flavors we do have are strawberry, blueberry, vanilla, which I kind of say vanilla, birthday cake, wedding cake. You can call it whatever you want to. Orange, banana. We have a peppermint in the winter, and we have a strawberry lemonade or just a lemonade in the spring. Did I say banana?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I would go for a banana too.
I would go for a maple if that worked. I don't know.
Yeah, maple.
Because that would be good for like the fall, like an LTO, not a lettuce, tomato, and onion. Just limited time offer.
Yeah.
I think I can get behind that too. The thing with bacon is
we're stuck.
Well, I want to get. I don't want to forget because, like, when you have a donut,
yeah,
right, and it's a, you know, the bacon donut. When I first saw that, I was not going to be happy. I didn't feel I was going to like it. As it turns out, you know. I think probably, I don't know, 8% of my body fat is probably, you know, bacon donuts.
Bacon?
Only 8?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much more than I'm consuming, you know, I'm trying to stay healthy.
Wow. John's, I've never seen him laugh so hard.
Yeah. And he does it in silence. That's the amazing part. All right. So what's the deal with Crayola?
They're fun. I love them. They came to us. How do we make it?
Yeah, well, I mean, is it like just a whole variety of colors? Like
what's going on? Cause I can't see your computer.
No, you can't. Can you?
No, I can't.
Okay. Well,
they have a custom bag, a private label bag. And we would do for a while. They would order like every color of the rainbow, obviously for, you know, to look like a crayon box. But as everyone knows, everyone likes the pink and the blue, the strawberry and blueberry. So now they just do strawberry and blueberry. There's about 5 Crayola. It's a Crayola experience, I guess I should tell you that.
What is it like? Though? Where do you have that experience?
There's one in Dallas, one in Philadelphia. I think there's one in the Mall of America, maybe one in Florida. There's only like 5 or 6 of them in the United States. And it's
Silent
kind of
John
like
knows. Silent John just nodded. He's like, it's right over there.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. I like to, you know, maybe take the kids.
You can like make your own crayon. They've made me a big pink one before that says like Flossie's cotton candy.
Oh, that's cool.
They're nice. Yeah.
I can get by. I'm really behind this. Like,
you can probably make bacon.
But how do we do this? Alex, what do we do? Do we fly to you? Like, how do we make this happen?
Oh, a bacon cotton candy.
Yeah.
We just find some flavoring and play with it.
You're in Arkansas,
but I mean,
right?
If you want, yeah, you want to come visit, come on down.
Yeah,
we got the World Food Championship is in April.
Yeah,
it is. In Bentonville, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam's backyard, Sam's Club's backyard.
Yeah.
Yes, we're about 4 hours from there.
It's like the final table is what it's called.
You should be. You should get involved with the World Food Championship too.
Imagine like you could sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pooch wanted me to come to Dallas, but it just didn't work out.
Oh, well.
I love Dallas.
Man, let me tell you something. We had such a blast over there.
Still trying to recover from that.
Yeah, man. It was about November. Yeah, picture having about close to 1,000 competitors, right? And on 3 to 5 person teams. And then picture another 3,000 to 5,000 people, spectators a day.
Walking in.
And it was like a madhouse of awesomeness. It was just really great. And all the booths, like the vendor booths, and it was just really great experience. You know, and I would imagine, you know, with what you're doing, that, you know, we'll connect you. Maybe there's something.
It'd be great. They can do like a basket and they have their product in there and they have to utilize that. Remember like the MREs with the military.
Yeah.
That would have been a cool thing for them to have, like, ooh, cotton candy. What I have to do with that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And change that.
Well, fun fact, I went to culinary school in Dallas.
Oh, did you?
Which one?
I did. The Art Institute of Dallas.
I wonder if that's Steve, remember, or the chef that I knew that was walking by. He's the director.
Steve Pilot?
Yeah. Oh, so it's the same school.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. He's my instructor.
That's hysterical. Yeah. Was it last year? Two years ago, I was there doing the culinary summit for the American Culinary Federation. That's with Keith. And we did the, I forgot the dish now, dal. And we actually cooked for about 110, 120 people at that school.
So that's pretty amazing. So really small culinary world, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is definitely. There's always 6 degrees of separation with somebody in the culinary field.
I think so. And I'm looking at it. I don't see that. I don't see the culinary school angle here on the sheet.
Did you do pastry when you went to culinary school, or did you do savory?
I did all of it. I mean,
so you did basically both, but did you ended up getting what degree though, in culinary or in pastry, baking and pastry?
I didn't do the extra pastry. No, I just did the pastry class.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was the same way with Johnson and Wales.
Yeah. It was 2005 when I was there.
Yep, it goes on the sheet. It goes from 2000 to 2000. You skipped over that, and you know, I'm a little hurt by that, actually.
I'm sorry.
I'm over it.
I'm just gonna throw
you're keeping it exciting. So, did you ever do anything with that? Did you work in the field, or did you that specifically for Flossies?
Well, I always wanted to do like wedding event catering. That was the like avenue I wanted to go down when I knew that's what I wanted to come out doing. When I went to culinary school, that's what I knew I wanted to do. But I've done some things here and there with it on the side. But, you know, once I got here, it's just, I love this. I love doing it. I love working with my customers and I love building this business. I love the cotton candy field. I love being a carny. It's in my blood.
Yeah, sure.
You can't get out.
Are you on the road most of the time, or do you stay in the facility?
I stay in the facility.
They don't let her out.
I'm more like a Willy Wonka. Maybe I should change the title.
I mean, I think we have to do a tour. I think we have to go. We're gonna have to make this happen.
You don't see me complaining.
You know, it's like the Brady Bunch goes to Hawaii, but instead we're going to...
So the Walk and Talk goes to Arkansas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Goes to Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like I said, I'm behind all of this.
You know what Arkansas is also known for?
Mm-hmm.
One of your favorite things.
Bacon.
Not only bacon.
Yeah.
Beef.
Beef.
Yeah. The booth.
Yeah.
We got Peggy Jean Farms here.
Creekstone.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can make it like a beef. Beef, bacon, and candy tour.
I'd like to get a
2024.
I'd like to get some ribeye cotton candy, please.
That actually
might work.
Yeah.
Sounds really, really like fattening, like just like bone marrow. Okay. Bone marrowy on the lip.
So this was a kind of impromptu, right? What we're doing, and you didn't have time to find out about me, okay?
I feel like I'm a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. You know, we lay it all out there, but Yeah, no, I'm all about the fatty fat fatness, and that's what I got going on in a happy way. You know, it's all happy pounds.
I'll let you know that we actually had that 1 pound ribeye, and I cut about almost probably around 6 ounces of fat off of it, and there's nothing left for some reason, just so you know.
That wasn't nice to put that out there. That wasn't nice at all. But you know what? Listen, so with my wife, now I'm going to hear you.
She doesn't listen to this. She listened one time.
She started, and I think
now she's like a loyal listener.
I think she's turning herself into like Nancy Drew. She's taking little nuggets, you know, out of this. Yeah, she's like something that'll be used against me later. I don't know. You know how it goes.
Yeah. No, because my wife doesn't listen to this. So it's just you two.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Cindy doesn't listen to it. Oh, yeah, but we don't talk about Cindy, like, you know, telling her, like, secrets, because John doesn't talk.
Right, you know, it's all mysterious. it's good stuff. You know, there's an interesting fact I wanted to bring up earlier. So you said it was a majority female-run operation as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. That's an interesting factoid. You know, especially in, 2024, that's pretty good.
I guarantee you, and I don't know this because this is again prompt 2, but what's the average lifespan of your worker that's working for the company right now? Like what's the tenure of somebody, let's say.
Say that again.
Like the tenure, like how long has somebody worked for you the most, I guess the highest amount of years that somebody's worked for?
I've had a group. Three of my ladies that have been here, they've been here for like 10, 11 years.
And you've got some, you know, some others that are there longer. I mean, we were talking earlier off here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They're my longest. And then my other girls, you know, some have been here 5 years. And then I have another set that were hired that have been like 3 years. All of them have been here a while.
And that's a testament to the brand that they have, what they do for their employees. Usually a family owned has a lot more love for their employees or their associates.
Yeah, it's not just.
Tell them every time we hire them, like my kids were raised here. I was raised here. I have 3 girls. So, you know, as soon as I had my babies, they were here with me. They were all raised here till they got old enough to go to school. So my girls here, you know, I understand you have children, you have an emergency, of course, go. You need to take a day off with your baby. Of course, I understand. There's a lot more leniency here than if you were working somewhere else. And we understand that. Your family always comes first, period.
Yeah. And, you know, in today's environment, it's so difficult to keep anybody, you know, we obviously in the food business, whether that's manufacturing, distribution, you know, on the restaurant side, farms everywhere. There's a shortage of, regular workers, you know, people who are going to come in and stay on board. You get a lot of turnover. That's pretty typical nowadays. So whatever you're doing, you know, blessings to you. Cause that's great.
You take care of them, they'll take care of you.
Yeah, 100%. Question for you. The raw product, how does that fluctuate and how does that like hamper your ROI? Like I know for beef, it so swings every single day. How does that affect the raw product? How does it affect your bottom line?
We just recently started blending our own sugars. What I mean by that is we buy a truckload of sugar, raw sugar, and we blend the color and the flavoring. So we're able to keep, you know, our cost where we need it to be right now. If we were buying, you know, a pallet of sugar at a time, it would be awful, but we buy a full truckload of sugar at a time.
But but inflation still taking a toll, right? I can't imagine your cost must have still gone up over the last year or so.
That's why we had to make it. That's why we had to make a choice. Like we have to start blending our own sugar. Like my dad owned a mill for a few years. We built our own mill just, you know, a couple miles down the road from us. So my dad's very familiar with the milling business. He knows how to blend all dry ingredients. So it wasn't anything for us to buy a blender and start blending our own sugars. So we bought a truckload of sugar and we knew our recipes and got our costs back to where we needed them to be.
That's really, you know, the whole production and manufacturing aspect, I think, is always, it's interesting because most people don't think about it. You know, they go to the store, it's in a bag, in a box, in a styrofoam, you know, whatever, cellophane, and they buy it and they go home, they eat it, eat half of it, throw it away, waste it, whatever. But they don't understand what it takes to actually produce the product, you know, get it packaged, get it shipped, you know, get it stocked, the whole rigmarole, especially if you're dealing with, like, you know, the big box stores that are out there and what it takes to win those deals, like to actually get in a Sam's Club or a, you know, Bass Pro Shop. Like that's such a deal. I mean, John, when, if you remember when, Don Darren with, you know, with the Don Pablo Coffee, when he went from Little Markets to Costco, I mean, like you got to be geared up, ready. Everything has to be perfect, and all the paperwork. I remember the
bonded and all that stuff.
I remember the vendor agreement was, I don't know, 5 inches thick. You know what I mean?
Question: do you sell to cruise ships, cruise lines?
No, do you know somebody?
I definitely do. I just thought about it, and then I'm like, what a great way to be on a, you know, Disney cruise, and then there's your cotton candy or Royal Caribbean.
And that's a really good point, is it's a lot of this business is your connections and how you treat your relationships. Cause I can't tell you how many times, just like right now, it's all about your relationships. You have to keep your relationships good and intact because you never know what somebody may bring you. You never know. That's why you always have to be, you have to be kind. You have to be nice. You have to leave everybody happy and then, you know, excited about you. You never want to leave somebody mad or upset with you.
I try to leave my house like that every day, but I fail. I fail. I'm kidding.
You need cotton candy in your life.
I do need cotton candy.
Could you imagine having cotton candy? Well, your dentist would kill you.
Right. So, but hold on a minute. I actually kind of want to circle back real quick to a dish. Can you put a dish together with yeah?
So what's really easy about sugar or the cotton candy? It caramelizes. So there you can definitely enhance. There's strawberry cotton candy. She was talking about the dish that we did at the Farmer's Cradle dinner, which is the flourless chocolate cake with the noble citrus juice.
Yeah.
Orange. We could have used the orange cream, but obviously that's somebody's. But we could do orange cotton candy, or we could have done the strawberry cotton candy. So there's dishes that you can definitely do. Now, savory dishes, you can still do it because you probably have like a blanket or a bland, or I don't know the word I'm looking for, the sugar that you can just put in the median, and then you can actually do stuff with it that way.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can even do drinks. There's a lot of people that are doing lime infused drinks with cotton candy.
Alex, you're looking to say something there. Go ahead.
That's what I was about to ask. Do you guys ever make cocktails? I mean, cocktails are easy to add cotton candy to.
We're very proficient on cocktails.
Yeah. Yes. But hold on, Jeff. So with the cotton candy, is it something that you would keep it in its in that cotton candy form and work up into a?
Yeah. So one of the things I have that I want to do is having a lardon of bacon, and a lardon means it's actually a thick piece of bacon. And I wanted to build some kind of contraption that you pour the bourbon over, light it on fire, and then the sugar from the cotton candy melts and it rains down bacon and it caramelizes the bacon. So like a maple flavored bacon with the bourbon and then lighting it on fire. Yeah. Okay. That's the gears going in my head.
Alex, how difficult is it to get this?
And how long, by the way? Because next question is, can you have it by next week or the 2 weeks or 3 weeks so I can start doing that?
We just have to get a sample of some flavoring.
Because I want to make a whole big thing out of this.
Well, I actually know my friend from yesterday that does the encapsulation stuff. That's a good partnership for her, meaning Alex and Steph. They can meet.
long as it's a dry flavoring, I can make it happen.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's a research and development chef that does encapsulating different flavor profiles, both for baking and also for like fermentation of sausage and encapsulating salts. And when you encapsulate the product, it actually helps the product get the salt throughout it and doesn't moisten up the actual sponge. It just keeps it the flavor. So instead of doing like a garlic sourdough bread, they'll do a mixture of this flavoring of garlic, and it's not off-putting. It's got that really nice roasted garlic flavor all through the entire flavor profile of the bread. That's what her company does.
Hmm.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Alex, I mean, I feel like we're going to have some other conversations.
And it was funny. She's like, do you know anybody that does this stuff kind of thing? And I'm like, no, not really off the top of my head. And then today.
I mean, that's what I love about what we do. So listen, Alex, audience, everybody, how this works is we have this beautiful vehicle that is the, Walk and Talk Media, which is our podcast, obviously, Walk and Talk Podcast, which you're listening to now. But then we also have our video series, Restaurant Recipes, and also the Dirty Dash Cocktail Hour, which you'd find on YouTube. It's it was streaming. I kind of pulled it down. I want to resurrect the streaming component because we're on Roku, Android, and Amazon TV. But I want to revamp that and come back real strong with some interesting content for that, something new, different, and all that. But we're so ingrained in this food business that we're really fortunate. We know people for this and people for that and the connections. And, you know, they say business gets done on the golf course. And I say business gets done in the green room now over here, you know? So, there's some things we might be able to do together.
What does your schedule look like in April, like April 10th and 11th in that time period? Because Miami's having a food and beverage at sea convention for cruises.
At sea.
Yeah, it's not at sea. It's at a warehouse. They're just calling it that because that's where the food and beverage of all of the cruise ships go. And every single buyer is going to be there.
You won't even need any Dramamine. You're good.
Yeah, yeah, you're not.
Okay.
You're not going to go on the SS Minnow.
Anything during the week is usually fine.
All right. We'll definitely circle back around with you on that one.
Yeah, so I think this is really interesting. We're gonna have some conversation off air and put some really cool stuff together. How do people find you? What's the best way?
Our website. You can email me directly from there. www.flossiesfoods.com, or you can go to our Instagram or Facebook. Flossie's Foods.
All right, I'll put that in the description as well. Alex, really thank you for being on the program. We appreciate you very much. I think there's some sweetness that we can achieve together.
You see that, how we did that there?
Love.
Yeah.
Love.
Excellent. All right, John, as always, a pleasure not hearing you. Jefferson, dude, I'm so stoked about the food today. It was awesome.
Thanks, man.
John, we're going to get some pictures today. I'm kidding. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.